If you have your Bibles, turn with me, please, to our text this morning, Colossians chapter 1 and verses 15 to 20, as we continue in our series, Doctrine Matters. Colossians chapter 1, starting at verse 15. Paul writes, "He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by Him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by Him and for Him. He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. And He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything He might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all His fullness dwell in Him, and through Him to reconcile to Himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through His blood shed on the cross." Let's pray. Lord, just thank You so much that You are King and Lord of all. And I pray You just teach us this morning, Lord, what that Lordship means for our lives and how much, Lord, we need to be submitting to it. Pray You'd come to us now by the power of Your Holy Spirit. Pray You'd open Your Word and teach us from it exactly what it is You want us to know. We ask all this in Your name. Amen. For years and years in the city of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, a man named Michael Grant has walked around dressed up like Jesus Christ so much, he's known as Philly Jesus. Then last July the 13th, during the private installation ceremony for Catholic Archbishop Nelson Perez at the Church of St. Peter and Paul, Michael Grant's home church, Philly Jesus busted in and tried to take over the ceremony. So the church called the cops, they hauled him outside and arrested him for trespassing. This is what it looked like.
I'll call my lawyer.
You can call whoever you want.
I'll call my lawyer.
They're going to be issued a violation for fine trespass.
I forgive you for trespassing against me.
And then when we release you from here, if you attempt to go back inside.
So what do you know? Philly Jesus got kicked out of his own church. But you know what's even worse than that? Real Jesus got kicked out of his own church all over America a long time ago. Because too many people in the church don't know beans from apple butter about the Lordship of Jesus Christ. But the text we have in front of us this morning tells us all about it. We're in a series at Fox River right now, a series called Doctrine Matters, looking at several absolutely critical doctrines that too many Christians are ignoring and destroying the faith and destroying the church because of it. So far in this series, we've looked at the doctrine of Scripture and the doctrine of the holiness of God. And today we look at the doctrine of the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And to see that, we turn today to Colossians chapter 1 and verses 15 to 20. In this part of Colossians chapter 1, the Apostle Paul gives us the greatest description of the Lord Jesus Christ anywhere in the Bible. And in our text today, Paul tells us why Jesus Christ really is King and Lord of all. And the Holy Spirit is telling us today that we need to submit to the Lord Jesus Christ in every single area of our lives. And that's exactly what the Lord wants us to know. Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 to 20 tells us three things that we need to know about the Lordship of Jesus Christ to get Jesus right. And let's look and see what those three things are. The first thing we see from this text, the first thing we need to know about Jesus as Lord, is that Jesus is Lord of creation. And that's exactly what Paul is telling us here in verses 15 and 17. And I know somebody's listening right now and is saying, "Kevin, we don't need doctrine, we just need Jesus." That's doctrine. There's no such thing as non-doctrinal Christianity. You say, "Well, Kevin, doctrine divides." Absolutely it does. It divides the truth from the error, the sheep from the goats, the children of the Lord from the children of the devil, and heaven from hell. Don't tell me that doctrine doesn't matter, and especially the doctrine of the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Because you get Jesus wrong, you get everything else wrong too. People, Jesus is Lord. Verses 15 to 17 here, Paul tells us Jesus is Lord because Jesus is God. Verse 15, Jesus is the image of the invisible God. And that word image in the Greek is icon. And it literally means the image of somebody stamped on a coin. Now in Paul's day, people couldn't see Caesar, but they could see Caesar's image on a coin. So Jesus is the image of God because Jesus makes the invisible God visible. John chapter 14, verse 9, Jesus says, "If you've seen me, you have seen the Father." And why? Because verse 19, God was pleased to have all His fullness dwell in Jesus. And that phrase, "dwell in," means permanently in the Greek, not just temporarily. Last month, actor Henry Cavill, announced that he was done, finished playing the role of Superman. That role was just temporary. But see, Jesus is never going to be done playing the role of God, because that role is permanent, because Jesus is God. A couple years ago, TV preachers Larry Huck and Paula White had this conversation.
And he's the first of many brethren, which means I now come into a priestly anointing. So I now can
say that again, because they don't get it.
I now come into a priestly anointing.
Jesus is not the only begotten Son of God. He is not. I'm a son of God.
He's the first fruit.
He's the first fruit. He's the firstborn of many. Jesus is not the only begotten Son of God. He is not.
Now, they're not wrong about everything they say. But they're wrong about that. Now, spiritually, yes, every one of us Christians is a spiritual son or daughter of God. But folks, the only begotten Son of God is Jesus Christ. Oh, be careful, little ears, what you hear. Jesus is the Son of God, the second person of the Trinity, coexistent and co-eternal with God the Father and God the Holy Spirit. And that phrase, firstborn over all creation, means that Jesus is just Lord or supreme over all creation. Because back in the 4th century, a bishop named Arius from Alexandria claimed that that phrase meant that Jesus wasn't God, because Jesus was created by God. And that heresy was finally put down at the Council of Nicaea, 325 AD, with these words from the Apostles, the Nicene Creed. Jesus Christ is begotten of His Father before all worlds. He is God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made. And what is that cult today that's still spreading that false teaching that Jesus is created by God? That would be the Jehovah's Witnesses. And in their perverted New World Translation of the Bible, in Colossians 1, 16 and 17, every time you see the word things, they stick the word other in front of it. So verse 17 would be, Jesus is before all other things, making you think that Jesus isn't God. Jesus is just another thing created by God. See how sneaky they are? But folks, Jesus isn't just another created thing, because Jesus is the one who created all things. Verse 16. And He is before all things. Verse 17. So before anything else was, Jesus was. Jesus is God. The Bible says He was God. Jesus Himself said He was God. His miracles prove that He was God. Gee, do you think maybe Jesus is really God? But the problem is, of course, the world doesn't believe that Jesus is God at all. So they make substitutes for Him. Dr. Anthony Fauci is Jesus for people who don't believe in God. Because He was born on December the 24th, you know, kind of like Jesus was. So according to Washington, D.C., Muriel Bowser, who made the declaration 2 years ago, every December the 24th now is Dr. Anthony Fauci Day. No, every December the 24th is still Christmas Eve. It's not about Lord Dr. Fauci. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ. The world stiffs Jesus at every turn. Last January the 7th, a Christian named Paul Shore showed up at the Mall of America, Bloomington, Minnesota, with a t-shirt on that said, Jesus saves on the front, and Jesus is the only way on the back. And mall security got all over it.
I understand that,
right.
But Jesus is associated with religion and it's offending people.
No, it's not. Actually, it's not a religion. It's about keeping alive.
Okay, but it's the same thing, okay? People have been offended, and like I said, all we were asking you is to take your shirt.
Did you hear what he said? That shirt is religious soliciting. There is no soliciting allowed on mall property. Jesus is associated with religion, and it's offending people. The creation doesn't want anything to do with the Creator. Jesus is Lord of creation. Jesus is Lord of creation right back there. Ellie, could you stand up? Everybody, this is Ellie Leeser. And you'll notice, next picture, she does not look like supermodel Emily Ratajkowski. And you know why she doesn't? Because she's not supposed to. Because she's not Emily Ratajkowski, she's Ellie Leeser. So she doesn't have to get colored contacts. She doesn't have to dye her hair purple. She doesn't have to put a stud in her tongue to try to look like somebody else. Because God created her eye color, her hair color, her skin tone, her facial features to all match perfectly. And they do. She's even more gorgeous than Emily Ratajkowski. Now, the world is telling girls like Ellie that they're fat, stupid, ugly losers. And that's an absolute lie. Because Colossians chapter 1, verse 16 says she was created by Jesus Christ for Jesus Christ. There's the purpose of her life. She was created for Jesus Christ. So she doesn't have to sing like Taylor Swift. She doesn't have to have makeup companies like Kylie Jenner. She doesn't have to have 14 million followers on Instagram like Jen Seltzer. Because she's not living for the world. She is living for the Lord. So her value and her identity does not come from who she is in the world. Notice, she's not cutting herself. She's not starving herself because she can't measure up to something that the world tells her she's supposed to be. She's not hooking up with a bunch of bad guys because she's desperate to be loved, because she knows she's already loved by Jesus Christ better than any guy ever could. Her value and identity does not come from the world. It does not come from what she looks like. It doesn't come from who she's going out with. It comes from who she is in Christ and what she has from Christ. And there's absolutely nothing in the whole wide world that the devil or the world can ever say or do to her that could ever, ever, ever take that away. Jesus is the Lord of that creation. And folks, do we realize how absolutely critical it is that Jesus is Lord of creation? Because what is everything in the universe made out of? Atoms, right? Well, kind of. All you science majors know that an atom consists of negative electrons spinning around a positive nucleus. And the nucleus consists of positive charged protons and neutrons. But because opposite charges attract and negative charges repel, the negative electrons balance out with the positive nucleus and holds together. But the question is, what's holding the nucleus together? Because if the nucleus consists of all positive protons, why aren't they all flying out and the nucleus collapsing? Well, scientists tell us there's four fundamental forces in the universe. Gravity, electromagnetism, weak nuclear force, and strong nuclear force. And it's the strong nuclear force, the strongest one of all, that holds those protons in the nucleus of an atom. So the entire universe is basically those particles bouncing around inside of a nucleus held together by strong nuclear force. And if it wasn't for that strong nuclear force, nothing in this universe, even the universe itself, wouldn't even be here. Now, scientists tell us that strong nuclear force is so finely tuned, if it was off even 1/1,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000th, nothing in this universe, this me, you, this church, would even exist. In case you don't have enough to worry about already. Now here's the kicker. Scientists tell us they have no idea where those four fundamental forces come from. And they couldn't have evolved because the universe would have never formed if they hadn't already been here to start with. A spokesman for NASA says this, as scientists, we have no idea where any of these fundamental forces came from, and especially something as critical as strong nuclear force. I know. Colossians chapter 1, verse 16. All things were created by Him, Jesus Christ, visible and invisible, including the four fundamental forces. And because of that, verse 17, all things hold together. The Greek word for hold together is sunestao, where we get our word sustained from. So what is holding the universe together is not just a force, it is a person. Because Jesus not only created it all, He is also sustaining it all and holding it all together. Just exactly like the Bible says, Hebrews chapter 1 verse 3, He sustains all things by the power of His Word. People, do you have any idea who Jesus Christ really is? Do you have any idea who we're really dealing with here? Because what would happen if Jesus ever took His hand off the wheel? Well, if you turn off strong nuclear force, you split the atom. What happens when you split the atom? So grab your ankles because it's goodnight, Irene and Chee Chee Buck. So folks, we got to realize the only thing that is keeping that from happening at any single second is 1/1,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000th of strong nuclear force. So when Paul says Acts 17:28, in Jesus we live and move and have our being, you ain't just kidding. You don't think we need the Lord Jesus Christ May the force be with you. In a pig's eye, may the Lord be with us. Please, please be with us. Now the Bible says come a time, Jesus is going to pull the plug at the end on Judgment Day. And what's going to happen then? 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 10, the heavens will disappear with a roar. And the elements, stoicheion in Greek, that literally means atoms, are going to disappear, literally dissolve, because there won't be any more strong nuclear force holding them together. And then the earth and everything in it is going to be torched in the biggest galactic barbecue that the world, the history of the whole wide universe. There we go again. But until that day comes, God continues to maintain and preserve the heavens and the earth and everything in them. Psalm 146, verse 6. He is the Lord of creation because He not only created it, He's also sustaining it and keeping it going and holding it together. And listen to me. If the Lord of creation can hold the entire universe together, He can sure enough hold you and your life together too. The first thing we need to know about Jesus as Lord is that Jesus is Lord of creation. We go on in this text, we see a second thing. A second thing we need to know about Jesus as Lord. Jesus is not only Lord of creation, He is also Lord of salvation. And that's exactly what Paul is telling us here in verses 18 to 20. So here we go. Salvation 101. Let's review. God is holy. We're sinners. God hates sin so much, our sin causes the wrath of God to be built up against us. John chapter 3, verse 36. But God still loves sinners so much, He put His Son, Jesus Christ, on a cross to pay the price for that sin and to take away all the wrath of God that was built up against us. Romans chapter 3, verse 25. And that word propitiation there in Romans 3, 25, King James Version, Hilasterion in the Greek literally means a sacrifice that satisfies God's wrath. So your doctrine does not come from YouTube videos or Whoopi Goldberg on The View. Doctrine actually comes from the actual words that the Bible actually says. So Colossians chapter 1 verses 19 and 20. God reconciles Himself to sinners by making peace through the blood of Jesus Christ shed on the cross. So you don't make peace with God. The blood of Jesus makes peace with God. And then when you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior and put your faith in that blood, then you have that peace too. And folks, that is pure, unadulterated, orthodox Christian doctrine of salvation. If I'm lying, I'm dying, because that is exactly what the Bible says. Jesus is the Lord of salvation. But the problem is today, people are denying that Jesus is the Lord of salvation because they're denying that salvation is even necessary to start with. Because see, God doesn't do wrath anymore, in case you haven't heard. Because God's all into diversity, equity, and inclusion. And kittens. And rainbow unicorns. So God doesn't get mad at our sin anymore. Come on, man. God went through some anger management and took a chill pill. So now God is as woke as a green M&M. And because God doesn't care about sin, Jesus never died for sin. Theologian Jeremy Myers says this, "The God who has to be mollified by nailing His Son to a tree is just barbaric and is not the God of the Bible. Jesus' death on the cross was just an example of the kind of love Jesus wants us to have for others. So Jesus' death didn't have anything to do with forgiving our sins, because God has always forgiven all people their sins simply because that's what God does." People, it's heresy. An example of love is not going to save you. I get examples of love every single day from my dog, Watson. But Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22 says, there is no forgiveness, there is no salvation without the shedding of blood. Yes, God does forgive sin, but He only does it on the basis of the shed blood of Jesus Christ on the cross, and then only for people who confess their sin to Him and put their faith in that blood to take their sins away. That's the gospel. The church of Jesus Christ today is rejecting the gospel of Jesus Christ. What do you think Christianity is about anyway? Beware. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. Beware, because false teachers will rise up among you. We see it in the music. And the song sung in the church, that line, "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me," is now "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a soul like me." Because God forbid anybody would ever feel bad about themselves because of their sin. That's microaggression. Presbyterian Church of America left that song "In Christ Alone" out of their hymnal because it's got that line in it. On the cross where Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied. There's that dirty little word, wrath, again. Penal substitutionary atonement, folks. God's holy anger against our sin is taken away by the death of His Son, Jesus Christ, on the cross. What is so hard about that? We teach that in children's church, for crying out loud. And the church is rejecting it. 2,000 years, the church still doesn't have its act together. Because there's still false teaching coming out of the woodwork. Last January the 5th, during Pope Benedict's funeral, heretic Pope Francis said this: "Today we entrust our beloved Pope Emeritus Benedict XVI to our most holy Mother Mary, that she may accompany him in his passage from this world to God." Now, Mary was a wonderful lady, one of the greatest examples of a servant you'll find anywhere in the world. But there is not one place anywhere in this Bible that tells us to pray to her, because she's not a part of the Godhead. Mary doesn't hear prayers, she doesn't answer prayers, and she never takes anybody to heaven. That's Jesus' job. Amen. Calvinism just keeps getting more and more popular. John Piper said this: "Before you were ever born or had even done anything, good or bad, God had already decided to save you or not." People, that's an absolute lie, because there's absolutely nothing anywhere in the Bible that says you're saved or lost before you're even born. And everybody in Scripture who is condemned to hell is always condemned because they refuse to believe. Not because they can't believe, because God never flipped their switch. Jesus hates you, this I know, for John Calvin told me so. You don't get Calvinism from the Bible. You get Calvinism by reading false teaching into the Bible. Mega Pastor Andy Stanley at his mega North Point Church in Atlanta said this to his congregation last May.
The gay men and women who grew up in church and the gay men and women who come to faith in Christ as adults who want to participate in our church, oh my goodness. I know 1 Corinthians 6 and I know Leviticus and I know Romans 1. It's so interesting to talk about all that stuff. But just, oh my goodness, a gay man or woman who wants to worship their heavenly Father, who did not answer the cry of their heart when they were 12 and 13 and 14 and 15. God said no, and they still love God. We have some things to learn from a group of men and women who love Jesus that much and who want to worship with us. And I know the verses. I know the clobber passages, right? We got to figure this out. And you know what? I think you are.
What? What? Notice he never said gay people have to repent of their sin, just like we have to repent of our sin. And God never answered the cry of their heart, like what? Their sexual orientation is God's fault? We in the church need to be more like gay people. Yeah, the ones who legitimately, honestly do struggle with same-sex attraction, absolutely. Because all of us struggle with some kind of a sin or another. But the gay people who claim that God made them gay, and that say that Jesus is gay, and that homosexuality is one of the fruits of the Spirit? No, don't be like those people at all. What in the world is Andy Stanley talking about there? Back in 2018, a Christian adoption agency in Georgia called All God's Children for Special Needs Kids was so welcoming and so affirming and so accepting of anything homosexual, they adopted a 5-year-old and a 7-year-old special needs boys to a fake married gay couple named William and Zachary Zulock from Oxford, Georgia. Even though Zachary Zulock had already been involved in the rape of a 13-year-old boy. And what happened just last July? Of course, William and Zachary Zulock were arrested for sexually molesting those kids, their own adopted sons, posting porn videos of it online and pimping them out to a local pedophile ring. Now, of course, I'm not saying that all gay people would do that. But Christians, where's the standards? Where's the discernment? All the caving and the compromising on the doctrine. Because false doctrine not only deceives people, it destroys people. Amen. Verse 18, the head of the Church of Jesus Christ is supposed to be Jesus. But you know what? Taking a look at it now, I think the head of the Church of Jesus Christ is a drag queen. Anything without a head is dead. Anything with two heads is a freak. For crying out loud, church, just preach the gospel. Preach the gospel of Jesus Christ for Pete's sake. And I know somebody's here and you should say, well, Kevin, that gospel is old-fashioned. It's too judgmental. Listen to me. You can call me judgmental. You can call me fundamental. You can call me sentimental. You can call me completely mental. I don't care if it is 2023. The Bible is still true. Jesus is still Lord. The wages of sin is still death. And the gift of God is still eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And not one single time anywhere in this Bible does God tell us to respect other people's beliefs. You know what He does say? If anybody gives you a plan of salvation other than the one you find in here, let that person be eternally condemned to hell. Galatians chapter 1 verse 8. That's how critical salvation really is. The power to save is only found in the cross. Jesus Christ, dead, crucified, resurrected for guilty sinners. Nothing more, nothing less, and nothing else. No other God, no other gospel. And I know somebody's hearing this today say, Kevin, you preach another gospel out there at Fox River because you preach a political gospel. Because it's all about people shouldn't wear masks and people shouldn't get vaccinated. No, it's not political at all. Because the gospel has absolutely nothing to do with the vaccine. John 3:16, for God so loved the world, He gave His one and only Son. That whosoever believes in Him and does not get vaccinated shall not perish and have everlasting life. You never heard me say that, and you never heard anybody from this church say that either. You want to get vaccinated? I do not question your salvation, because it is not a salvation issue, and it's not a political issue either, because it's not about right or left. It's only about right or wrong. And there's all kinds of buku problems with masks and vaccinations. We've talked about it till we're blue in the face. And I'm not going to say any more about it today. Because push comes to shove. It's not an issue with physical health either. Because most important, more important than anything else, the issue is freedom. Genesis chapter 1 verse 28, God did not create us to be slaves. He created us to be free and to have dominion over everything that He created. And the only limit on our freedom is God's law itself. 2 Corinthians 3:17, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And because of that, the Declaration of Independence says, all men are created equal and endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, among them life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. So our rights don't come from God, from government, they come from God. And because of that, government can't take those rights away. So it's not government's job to monkey around with our rights. Government's only job is to protect the rights that God has already given us, to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and to our posterity. But the problem is, we don't have a government like that anymore. Because right now there is a demonic spirit of totalitarianism sweeping all over this country and all over the United States. And all kinds of Marxists and leftists are doing everything they can to take those freedoms away. Amen. Dr. Anthony Fauci said this, we need to look to China to see how a government needs to really handle a virus outbreak in the population. So we're supposed to be communists. New Jersey Senator Cory Booker said this, enough of these MAGA barbarians and their gross fascination with their so-called rights, because their duty to serve the common good, especially in times of crisis, trumps any selfish rights they think they have. Folks, do you honestly think those people would hesitate a second to take your God-given rights and freedoms away? They've already done it. They lied about COVID and used panic porn to get people to lock down and surrender their rights before. Now they're going to try to do it again. 2 weeks ago at a conference in Australia, Bill Gates of hell said there's going to be another pandemic 100 times worse than COVID. Gee, what does he know that we don't? So he said it's going to require the forced vaccination of everybody on the face of the earth, linked to a digital ID that will be implanted in people's bodies. Folks, a government that can force you to stick something inside your body is a government that can force you to do anything. Our founding fathers fought a revolution because they didn't want to pay a tax on tea. What in the world would those founding fathers think about Govzilla closing down your churches and saying, no jab, no job? And Christians, if we don't stand up against it, if we don't stand up against this tyranny, this country is going to become something our founding fathers would never even recognize, but warned us would happen if we ever turned our backs on Him, on God. The left wants you to be slaves. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 16, God wants you to be free. So this isn't just MAGA people calling for this. This is God calling for this Himself. And people, let me tell you, if we're ever going to stand up against this tyranny, we better hurry. Because the globalists are not going to stop. 2 weeks ago at Davos, WEF said exactly the same thing. World Economic Forum, everybody in the world is going to be forced to be vaccinated, linked to a digital ID implanted in their body. Bill Gates right now is injecting animals all over Europe, trying to get messenger RNA in the food supply and the water supply. Pfizer announced 3 weeks ago they now have messenger RNA in inhalant form. They're going to release it into the atmosphere so you'll get it into your system just by breathing. People, what in the world is it about this CRISPR technology that they are so hell-bent on getting this inside of you? You know what it is. 3 weeks ago, Chinese Communist Party started bragging about their personal carbon footprint tracker. It's now being used in all citizens in China. A digital device that records the carbon footprint of every single thing that you do. Where you go and how you travel and what food you eat. Even the number of calories you're taking in. All to control your every move and to supposedly fight so-called man-made climate change. Let me ask you something. Do you want to be enslaved to something like that? And you know what's even scarier? It's a personal carbon footprint tracker, which means you're going to be indoctrinated by Big Brother so much, government won't even force you to have to force you to do it. You'll be doing it on your own, voluntarily. You'll be so brainwashed. No, not me, not here, not now, not ever. It's not about politics. It's not about salvation. It's not about physical. It's about freedom. Because Jesus is God, not government. Jesus is my Savior, not government. I trust Jesus, not government. I worship Jesus, not government. So I will stand up and I will say no and I will not submit to the globalist slave masters. Because 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 6, even though there may be many so-called gods, for us there is but one God, the Father from whom all things come, and one Lord Jesus Christ in whom we live and are saved. The second thing we need to do, see, Jesus is Lord like He's supposed to be. We realize Jesus is Lord of salvation. We go on in this text. We see a third thing. Third thing we need to see about Jesus as Lord. Jesus is not only Lord of creation. He is not only Lord of salvation. Third, Jesus is Lord of our lives. And that's the whole point of everything that Paul is saying here in verses 15 to 20. Because Jesus is not just supposed to be the Savior of our souls, He's also supposed to be the Lord of our lives. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16, watch your life and your doctrine closely. Because the two are supposed to match. So doctrine isn't just something you're supposed to know. It's something you're supposed to do. Not just something you like on Facebook or get tattooed on your arm. It's something that's supposed to be lived. Verse 17. Jesus is before all things so that, verse 18, in all things He might have the supremacy. So let me ask you this morning. Is Jesus coming first and having supremacy over all things in your life and in my life? Because God help us, people, how we trash our witness when He doesn't. Major League Baseball star Albert Pujols, 22 seasons in pro baseball. 11-time All-Star, 3-time league MVP, 2-time World Series champion, and such a born-again Christian, so on fire for witnessing that for years and years, every time an opposing player would get a walk or a single, and he was holding them on first, Albert Pujols would ask them, if you died tonight, would you go to heaven? During the game. But then last April 7th, right before opening day for the St. Louis Cardinals, Albert Pujols filed for divorce from his wife, Deidre, after 22 years of marriage, 3 days after she had major surgery for a cancerous brain tumor. Folks, if you can't be committed to your wife when she needs you the most, how can you really be committed to Jesus Christ? Talk about trashing your witness. Is Jesus Christ really Lord of his life? Is Jesus Christ really Lord of our lives? Can you even remember the last time you read the Bible and had a prayer time? Young people, are you obeying your parents? Or is every day with them like another grudge match in the Ultimate Fight Club? Married people, you being good to your spouse? Wives, are you nagging your husband? You say, Kevin, I'm not a nag. I'm just a motivational speaker. Listen, if the issues you're fighting about are more important than the marriage you're supposed to be fighting for, Jesus is not Lord of your marriage, and Jesus is not Lord of your life either. Is Jesus Lord of your spending? Because how much money do you owe now? Is He Lord of your temper? You say, Kevin, I don't need anger management. Other people need stupidity management. That's the problem. All right. How much wine are you drinking every night just to take the edge off? How much porn are you looking at? Is Jesus Lord of your life, or is it Pornhub and X-Hamster? You know what? I think I'm preaching now. And what about the phone? Is Jesus Lord of your life, or is it Apple and Samsung? Psychologists are now seeing 3-year-old kids for smartphone addiction. 3 years old. The 10-year-old you see on the screen right there, Emerson Bailey from Riverside, California, killed himself last September. You know why? Just because his parents took his phone away. This is how bad the addiction is. 80% of all married couples now say the phone is a huge issue in their relationship. Listen, if you're using it as a tool, it's fine. But if it's one of your pastimes, it's an idol. Because if you are spending more time watching TikTok videos like Squishy the Chipmunk and the Rosalia Chewing Gum Challenge, instead of spending that time with your wife, your husband, your parents, your kids, or the Lord, you got a problem. And have you noticed all the Christians with the LGBTQ support icons on their social media pages? Even though the Bible very clearly says that LGBTQ is rebellion against God, and those who support it are just as guilty as the ones who participate in it directly? You say, well, Kevin, it's okay. It's all right. It's just a symbol. It's just a gesture. God doesn't care what we post, because what really matters is what's in your heart, right? And Adam and Eve said, it's okay. It's all right. You can have an apple, because God doesn't care what we eat, because what really matters is what's in your heart, right? Jesus said, Luke chapter 6, verse 46, you call me Lord, Lord. You don't do what I tell you to do. Is Jesus Christ really Lord of our lives? Because what a powerful witness when He does have that position. Last June, 26-year-old Kari Wills, starting safety for the Indianapolis Colts, retired after just 2 seasons in the NFL because he's a born-again Christian and God told him to go to seminary and go into full-time ministry. He walked away from $1 million base salary per year plus incentives. You know how many guys in this country would kill not just to start, just to be in the NFL, let alone start? And why did he do that? Because Jesus Christ is Lord of his life. See, when you live what you believe, people will notice how you live, and then they'll be attracted to what you believe that causes you to live that way. See how it's supposed to work? Dear Abby, I'm a serious, committed Christian, and I've been dating this guy for almost 2 years. We talked about marriage and even looked at rings. But after 2 years, I've come to realize that my hope that his faith in Christ would go stronger is never going to happen. I love this man with all my heart, but even more, I need a husband who will pray with me and have a heart for God and will want to go to church and raise our children to really follow Christ. So Abby, let young Christian women know, don't settle for what you know isn't God's best for you and the real desire of your heart. Signed, Brokenhearted Believer in Vegas. You know how many single people are in our church right now, guys and girls, still single because they broke off a relationship with somebody who didn't want to follow Christ like they did? And you realize how hard that is? All the time and the energy that they invest in the relationship, sometimes years. And this desire to have somebody special in their life and to get married and to have sex and start a family and build a life with this person. And can you imagine the temptation just to cave and to compromise on the calling that God has placed on you because you're so lonely and everybody else around you is getting married and moving on with their lives? People, that's a witness. Here sits Steve and Laura Southcombe. What in the world are they doing here? This is a busy family. Don't tell me they don't have a million other things that they could be doing on a Sunday morning. And they've got little kids. You know how hard it is to get little kids to come to church on Sunday morning? Less than 30% of people in America today who even call themselves Christians ever go to church on a Sunday morning anymore. Only 35% of Christian parents ever teach their kids anything about spiritual truth. They're teaching their kids a lot just by sitting there. And they're not coming to this church because they want to get saved. They're already saved. They're not coming to this church because of me. Because you don't go to church because who a pastor is. You go to church because who Jesus is. Amen. So every Sunday morning, while the rest of the world is sleeping in, couldn't care less and thinks they're absolutely nuts for doing it, they get up and they bring their kids here to this church because they are Christians. And because they realize that every single part of their life, including their time and how they spend it, is under the lordship of Jesus Christ. That right there is a powerful witness. Jesus Christ, Lord of your life, no matter what. 30 years ago, Charlene Carter, a flight attendant with Southwest Airlines, had an abortion. And because of that, she struggled with depression and suicidal thoughts for years and years, till finally 2007, she got saved and finally found that forgiveness and peace that she needed in Jesus Christ. And she promised God after that she would never, ever stop speaking up and stop standing up for the unborn. So she started posting all kinds of things on her Facebook page, all kinds of pro-life things, even things that were critical of Southwest Airlines and the flight attendants union because they supported abortion. So finally, 2017, Southwest called her in and said, this has got to stop. When she didn't stop, they canned her. They fired her. Even though everything she was posting was on her private Facebook message board and also all done on her own time. So Charlene Carter filed a lawsuit against Southwest Airlines. And just this past December, a federal judge in Texas ordered Southwest Airlines to pay her $5 million for violating her constitutional rights, an additional $300,000 in compensatory damages, and $150,000 more in back pay. And also ordered the flight attendants union to pay her $300,000 in compensatory damages and $61,000 in prejudgment interest. And not only that, he also ordered Southwest and the union to reinstate her job. So she got her job back to boot. You have Jesus Christ as Lord of your life, and you put Him first, no matter what it costs. Because Christians, listen to me. Sometimes it costs you everything. Right now, the worst country in the whole wide world for persecuting Christians is Nigeria, because 89% of all Christians murdered in the world every year are killed in Nigeria. Because even though half the 220 million people in that country are Christians, the Muslim government doesn't do diddly squat to protect them from Boko Haram and Islamic State terrorists. And one of those Christians was 42-year-old Eunice Olawale. Her and her husband Elijah lived in the city of Abuja, and they had 7 children. And that woman loved Jesus so much, she got up every single morning at 4:30 a.m., grabbed the Bible, some gospel tracts, and a megaphone. By 5 o'clock, she was standing on the street corner across from the Muslim mosque in the city, passing out gospel tracts and preaching the gospel. She did that every single day, 6 days a week, every day but Sunday, without fail. And she purposely went to the Muslim part of the city because she had absolutely no fear. And she knew that Muslims needed a gospel witness the most, without fail. And of course, the Muslims hated her and considered her an infidel. And they threatened to beat her up. They threatened to kill her entire family because they knew where she lived. And all she had to do to stop the threat was just stop preaching. But she wouldn't do it. Every single morning, she was there. 5 a.m., preaching the gospel, passing out gospel tracts. Till 6:30, she went back home, got her kids up, saw her husband off to work, got her kids off to school, without fail. In the morning of last July the 7th, she wasn't out there preaching 5 minutes when all of a sudden 4 Muslim men came up, got sick and tired of it, grabbed her and started beating on her with clubs and sticks. So the police came and took Eunice Olawale to jail. Not the thugs, but her. Because in Nigeria, it's illegal to preach against the religion of Islam. And the police told her to stop preaching too. And they also told her if she ever got attacked again, they wouldn't protect her. But very next morning, July the 8th, 5 a.m., Una Solawale was out on that street corner right across from the mosque preaching up a storm. All she had to do to stop the threat was just stop preaching. At least stop preaching for a while until the heat was off. For the sake of her husband, for the sake of her marriage, for the sake of her family and her children, for the sake of her own life, for crying out loud. But she wouldn't stop. So the morning of last July the 9th, even though she knew what was probably going to happen to her, there was Una Solawale standing on that street corner across from the mosque with a megaphone, passing out tracts, preaching the gospel through a megaphone. And she had just handed two Muslim young men gospel tracts when all of a sudden those same four men from the day before came up and grabbed her and started beating her. And the police came and took her to jail again. But those four Muslim men went out and whipped up a crowd of over 1,000 Muslim citizens, telling them that she had insulted the Prophet Muhammad. And when that crowd of 1,000 Muslims descended on that jail, the police just walked away. And Una Solawale knew that she was toast. So they dragged her in a field out behind that mosque. And the followers of the religion of Islam, you know, the religion of peace, took a knife and cut her ears off. And they told her they would stop cutting her. They would stop hurting her. They would not kill her or her husband or her children. They wouldn't hurt her family if she would just stop preaching and renounce her faith in Jesus Christ. She wouldn't do it. So then they started cutting off her fingers, one at a time. And after every time they cut off a finger, they would tell her the same thing. We will stop cutting you. We will stop hurting you. We won't kill you. We won't kill your family. We won't kill your husband if you just stop preaching and renounce your faith in Jesus Christ. She wouldn't quit. So then they cut her breasts off. People, can you imagine the hell that this woman is going through? The pain that is going through her body. And the temptation to cave and to compromise on what Jesus had called her to do in that city. And they told her, we will stop hurting you. We will take you to a doctor. We will help you save your life. We will not kill you. We will not kill your husband. We will not kill your children if you just stop preaching and renounce your faith in Jesus Christ. She wouldn't do it. So they finally cut her head off. Cut her up like a chicken. Husband found her body an hour later. And to this day, not one person in that city has ever been arrested, even been questioned about that murder. No justice, no condolences, no nothing. See, Christians in Nigeria serve the Lord even though they're going to know that they're going to be killed. Christians in America serve the Lord if it's not raining outside and we don't have anything better to do. Because the very next morning, July the 10th, six other women from Una Solawale's church were there on that street corner with gospel tracts and a Bible and a megaphone preaching the gospel just like she had done. And the question is, what in the world is it that makes somebody do something like that? To put up with the threats and the beating and the torture and the killing? What kind of a woman in the whole wide world would give up the only chance that she knows she has to keep on living and to keep on being married to her husband and to be there for her kids and to watch her kids grow? What kind of woman in the whole wide world gives that up? That kind of woman right there. Because she knew there's something even more important than your relationship with your spouse. There's something even more important than your relationship with your kids. There's something more important than your family. There's something more important than your very own life itself. And that's your relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen. And sometimes living for Jesus means dying for Jesus. Amen. So she did not shrink from death, loving her life so much. Revelation chapter 12, verse 11. For we consider everything, and I mean everything in our lives, garbage compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Jesus Christ and serving Him as our Lord. That He might have supremacy in all things. Because if Jesus Christ is not Lord of all, and I mean of all, then He's not Lord at all. Is He? So Christians, let me ask you this morning, would you have done what Una Solawale would have done? Would I have done what Una Solawale did? And at this point in a sermon on the Lordship of Jesus Christ, most preachers would ask you to make Jesus Christ Lord of your life. But I'm not most preachers, so I'm not going to ask you to make Jesus Christ Lord of your life, because Jesus is already Lord of your life. And come a time on judgment day, every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus has already been Lord of their lives all the way along. Philippians chapter 2 verses 11 and 12. So the question is not, are you going to make Jesus Lord of your life? The only question is, are you going to submit to Him as Lord of your life? And submit to the Lordship He has over you already. There's people sitting in this church right now listening to this sermon. You've never submitted to the Lordship of Jesus Christ because you're not saved. And you know it. Colossians chapter 1 verse 16 says, all things are created by Jesus Christ for Jesus Christ. You were created by Jesus Christ for Jesus Christ. Which means you were created by God to know Him through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And if you do not have that relationship with Him, there's absolutely nothing else in the whole wide world that will ever substitute for that or make up for it. That's why the loneliness is there in your life. That's why that empty feeling is there. That's why that question is always there in the back of your mind. Isn't there something more to life than this? There is. You were created to know God through Jesus Christ. Today, this service is over. You get up out of your seat. You come to the front of this church. You pray with somebody. You can find out what that life is really all about. There's Christians sitting in this room right now, this Christian included. There's parts of our lives that haven't been submitted to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, aren't there? No wonder we drink so much. No wonder our marriages are falling apart. No wonder we're in debt to our eyeballs. No wonder we look at things we shouldn't look at. No wonder you break up with one guy after the other. No wonder you had to have an abortion. No wonder you don't want anything to do with girls. Parts of our lives that have never been submitted to Jesus Christ. Listen to me. I don't know if Jesus will ever ask us to give our lives for Him, but I do know this. If we can't give the porn to Him, if we can't give the bitterness and the unforgiveness to Him, if we can't give the drinking to Him, if we can't give the pot problem to Him, if we can't give the bad attitude to Him, how in the world are we ever going to give our lives to Him? Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? What is it in your life right now? Right now. What area, what part of your life that has never been submitted to the Lordship of Jesus Christ? You give that to Him today, He will set you free. And you can leave this church today free and clean, serving the Lord like we have to in these last days. Maybe it's a grudge you're holding on to. Maybe it's something that God has called you to do. You've never done it. Maybe it's a major move that you don't want any part of. Maybe it's an addiction. What is it right now that needs to be submitted to the Lord Jesus Christ? Lord, we come before you today. You know us even better than we know ourselves. But every single one of us knows deep down inside something that people around us do not know. Things that we do, things that we think, thought patterns. I just ask and pray right now that we would take those things, we would submit them to your Lordship. You are Lord over our lives. You are King and Lord of all. And I pray, Lord, that you would be fully Lord of our lives right now. Lord, your Holy Spirit would search our hearts. We would be surrendering those things to you. And by the power of your Holy Spirit, Lord, we would see them removed. Just thank you, Lord, that you are King and Lord of all. Pray, Lord, that you would just reign in us today. All these things we ask in your name, and thank you. Amen.